Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Citizens of Perfectville, football is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup info, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all sports wagering info, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's right, 100%. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your third place Miami Dolphins, part of the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag, streaming on Sirius XM and TuneIn Radio. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, Dr. Christopher Cullen. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend? Doctor? Well, it appears that the doctor once again is on assignment, at least for now. But fear not, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest joining me here in the town of Perfectville. Before too long, I think you're going to like this cat. But we'll get to that here in just a second. Until then, we're going to do a little monologue. Yes, that's right. Sam Marcoux going on a rant, which means probably the exact opposite is going to happen, knowing my track record of going on a rant on this show. But I've been alluded to this for about a week and a half, if you've been following the show, which I know you have. And it has to do with the fact that the Miami Dolphins have an opportunity with all this strife, with all this commotion, with all of this nonsense surrounding this franchise. I mean, you have Chris Nowitzki, who's out there saying that Tua Tagovailoa should never play for the Miami Dolphins again, that Mike McDaniel should be fired. You've got national sports media members questioning the integrity of everybody involved with this Miami Dolphins organization. And again, I understand that if Stephen Ross was around, but he hasn't been. So it kind of makes me scratch my head because this team hasn't done anything since Stephen Ross has been away from the team, and rightfully so. But nonetheless, you have people on places like Fox News, CNN, World News in terms of BBC, Canadian News, obviously ESPN, all the sports networks online, everything that goes on, questioning the Miami Dolphins, doubting them, saying that they were, you know, less than scrupulous in dealing with Tua Tagovailoa, that they're hiding things, that they're covering things up. And I'm here to say, I think the Miami Dolphins are on the verge of something. And that verge is being the black hat of the NFL, something that the Raiders have worn, the Las Vegas Raiders have worn for a very long time. And I think they've done very well with their fan base and with their team members and with their front office and everything involved with the Las Vegas Raiders to be the bad guy, to be the person that the NFL and everyone that surrounds them, they've leaned into that persona and they've done quite well, at least maybe not on the field, but everywhere else. And I think the Miami Dolphins right now shouldn't be the fish, pardon the pun, swimming upstream. I think they need to lean into this. I think they need to take the black hat off of the Las Vegas Raiders franchise and adjust it a little bit for that big porpoise brain and drop that black cowboy hat directly on top of their blowhole. I think the Miami Dolphins need to be the bad guys of the NFL, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Perfectville. I think that is what I want to see the Miami Dolphins do. I want them to lean in. We know Tua Tagovailoa is coming back. I want Mike McDaniel. I want all of these guys, Chris Greer, everyone involved with the front office, to lean into it and go, yeah, you know what? We're going to do what's best for us. We're going to do what's best for Miami Dolphins. And you can say whatever you want about us in the media. You can talk about us on the radio, on television, on your blog, whatever it's going to be. And that's fine. We encourage it. Keep at it. We're going to post it in the locker room. We're going to galvanize our team around the bullshit that you guys are throwing at us. And you know what? We're going to scoop it all up. We're going to put it into a nice little package and we're going to mail it right back to you. Games the way we win games. We're not going to listen to the nonsense that's around this. We're not going to defend ourselves. We're not going to backpedal like a good cornerback, something the Miami Dolphins need right now. We're going to run forward. We're going to run towards it. We're going to be the guys that you say we are, and we're going to embrace it, and we're going to win, not in spite of it, but because of it. And I think the Miami Dolphins can do that. I think Tua Tagovailoa can do that. I think Tyreek Hill and his leadership style is the kind of guy that can help galvanize this us versus the world mentality. And then you got Mike McDaniel behind him, if Tyreek is that vocal leader, crafting it up, saying this is how we're going to do it. This is the game plan, quite literally. This is how we're going to go out and shove it up everybody's ass. And that's what I'd like to see the Miami Dolphins do. Run a three-game losing streak. We tried playing by their rules. We tried being nice in the media. And you can see it. You can see Mike McDaniel. He comes out right before the Vikings game and says, how about we try something that we haven't done all week and talk about the Vikings? And what's the first question he gets after that? Concussion stuff about Teddy Bridgewater, about Tua Tagovailoa. And you could see Mike McDaniel throwing his hands up going, okay, whatever. So I think we're on the cusp, ladies and gentlemen. We're on the verge of seeing the Miami Dolphins put on the black cowboy hat and just walk around being big dick daddy. And I like it. I like it. I think it's going to come out in Pittsburgh. I'm going to talk to our special guest here in just a little bit about what I think is going to happen on Sunday night. But traditionally speaking, the Miami Dolphins, when they have the big spotlight on them, haven't performed well, at least in recent years. I think that changes Sunday night. I think there's so many subplots to this game. You got Tua Tagovailoa coming back. You've got Tyreek Hill, who is a bona fide superstar, leading the league in reception yards on the Miami Dolphins as well. And oh, by the way, Brian Flores is on that other sideline. Mika Fitzpatrick is on that other team. So you've got all these little subplots to where it's lining up, especially with the way the Miami Dolphins are getting healthy. It's lining up, ladies and gentlemen, for what I think is going to be an absolute beatdown on Sunday Night Football. So we'll talk our guest coming up here. We're going to talk about what happened in that Vikings game. If you listen to that Finston reaction show, I gave you my immediate thoughts, but our guest is going to join us and he's going to talk to us a little more in depth about what happened in that game and where the Miami Dolphins need to go. We're going to talk a little bit about, maybe some trade scenarios, maybe some people leaving, maybe some people coming in, and what does that look like? So we're going to get into all that and more with my special guest right after these words. Citizens of Perfectville, Dolphins fans, football fans of all types, are you looking for that perfect gift this holiday season to get the football guy in your life? Well, head to shop.believe.com and pick up the Cheetah Deuces shirt today. That's right, the very own swag, the very own merchandise, the official merchandise of Welcome to Perfectville can be found at shop.believe.com. You can find it in white, heather gray, or black. You can get it in medium, large, extra large, 2XL. So for the skinny guy or the fat guy and everybody in between, head to shop.believe.com and get the Cheetah Deuces shirt today. And thank me later, because they're going to thank you later, probably with awesome stuff like high fives and hugs and everything else. shop.believe.com. Joining me now is a very special guest on his own show, ladies and gentlemen, back in the saddle again, the two-time Hall of Famer, the good doctor himself, Dr. Christopher Cullen. Doctor, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. I figured it was finally time to maybe make some time here for the show I helped co-found. So thanks for, I really appreciate you having me.
Hey, every now and then we're glad you're here. Every now and then you got to take a vacation. As I've been telling everybody, you've been on assignment. The reality is our lives are very busy. We're both, coaches of our kids' respective sports. We both have careers. We both have families, and things don't always line up. And to top it off, ladies and gentlemen, we both had microphone issues here. So give us some slack, cut us a little bit of slack here. We're working through it. We're we've only been doing this for 7 years, so we're still learning, everybody, and it's fine. But
you know, who's podcasting, you don't really hit your stride until a decade in.
Yeah. It's like what Jim Florentine told us, you know, in comedy, it takes about 9 years before you actually become funny. You know, we're so a couple of years from now, this show's going to be just A-OK, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go. Can't wait.
Yeah. So until then, we got to work it out. Kind of similar to how the Miami Dolphins are working everything out as well, I would think. We talked about it on the Finston Reaction Show, and by we, I mean me, Chris. But 3-3, started off 3-0 against some really, really good teams. And then we lose 3 in a row to a couple of mediocre teams. And I would argue that the Minnesota Vikings are a good team. But I did say on the Finston Reaction Show that this was the first game of this 3-game losing streak that I thought the Miami Dolphins actually would have won this game if they were even reasonably healthy. If Tua Tagovailoa was the quarterback, for instance, we win this game, as opposed to this mishmash of what we've had to deal with Teddy and Skyler and Tua's concussions and everything else. Agree or disagree?
I mean, I agree that I think Minnesota would be winnable. I think the Jets would have been as well. I think our offense looks way more competent with Tua, and our offensive drives would have been a lot more successful, and they wouldn't even have those opportunities to put up 40 points. But I agree. I think the Minnesota Vikings game was interesting because we went into it, my family and I, expecting to lose. Like, it was like one of those where just like, if we even make it close, I'll be happy with it. The injuries are insurmountable. Armstead's out, Tua's out. Howard's kind of back. Byron Jones is still out. So I was like, you know, what do we expect? The fact that it was like obtainable before that Waddle fumble, heartbreaking fumble at the end, on that last drive to tie it, you know, or take the lead, that's where you're just like, you know, that's the team is a few players away and we're injured. So it's like, I'm happy for the Vikings. Skull, you're 5-1, but man, I feel like they lucked out on that one.
They did a little bit. And again, if we even have a modicum of health on either offense or defense, I think it's a wildly different game. I'm not here to blame the injuries, though. I mean, I think that's what the Buffalo Bills did, and we were giving them shit, so I'm not going to do it myself. But what I would say is that our number one cornerback is Xavien Howard. He's dealing with multiple groins in terms of the injuries. Byron Jones hasn't played all season. Trill Williams was going to be a part of this defensive backfield. He went out during the preseason. And then, of course, you have Nick Needham go down with a horrific Achilles tear. He's done for the season. You have Kader Kahou. So now we're onto the fifth cornerback, Chris, on the depth chart. He doesn't play. So we're dealing with Justin Bethel, who played outstanding. And of course, Noah Igbinoghene, the defensive player of the week for the Miami Dolphins. Who would have guessed it? When you're up against that, and then you have a linebacking core that's not very good. I mean, the linebacking core is okay and passable if the defensive backfield and the defensive line are both working the way they're supposed to. In this game, really, it was the defensive line, and that was it. So you've got a unit in the linebacking core that's not very talented as a standalone unit, in my opinion. And then you've got a very injured defensive backfield. All you had was, could you get to Kirk Cousins and knock him down before he could throw the ball? And they did fine. The defense, for all things, did fine. And really, the offense was fine. It boiled down to injuries, penalties, and turnovers. You know, two of those things you can kind of fix right away. The other one, you just got to get healthier, which I think the Miami Dolphins are getting ready to do here, Chris. So not to spend too much more time on the Vikings, I'll let you have the last word on the game that just passed, but I want to shift to Sunday night and this Miami Dolphins team going against the Steelers, because there's some things happening that I think are really exciting if you're a Miami Dolphins fan.
Yeah, very exciting. Again, Tyreek Hill's leading the league by like a lot in receiving yards. He's been everything you've wanted as a fan to give up the draft picks we have. He's been unbelievable. Doesn't matter who the quarterback's been. So great game for him. Another really good, solid game for Waddle. He was the reason for an interception on the drop, and he fumbled a ball trying to make another play. Can you get mad at that? I don't think so. I mean, it's a guy trying to make plays, and that happens. That happens. And you just move on to the next game. He was clearly frustrated, slamming his helmet. Feels like he let the team down. It's a young guy, and he's had a pretty incredible start to his career. So he's due. He's due for a bad game. And honestly, it wasn't a horrible game. It's just critical turnovers will be the difference of a game when it's that close to a team with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and Delvin Cook, who we bottled up for the majority of the game until that fumble.
Until that deflating fumble. And look, people are saying you can't trash Jalen Waddle. I can absolutely trash Jalen Waddle. He played a bad game. I mean, he had 130 catch yards. Great. And you know, that part of his game is fine. But he was the problem when it came to that interception, and he was the problem when it came to that fumble. And that fumble directly led to this deflated defense that had been bottling up, as you said, Dalvin Cook, the entire game, to him just running rampant after that. So it's fine. I don't want to throw Jaylen Waddle off the team. He's not in that category whatsoever. He's got enough goodwill that he can have a bad game. And to your point, the Miami Dolphins even took the approach here, I think, Chris, of just, hey, if we win this game, it's house money. But they purposely kept Teron Armstead out. I have it on good authority. If you're a part of the OKS Fantasy League ever, you know this, that Teron Armstead could have gone. He could have gone in this game, but they decided it's not worth it. Let's just get him healthy for the next stretch of four or five games before the bye. And healthy, and this means resting even more. So they decided to keep him out. Austin Jackson, he's going to be back for the Steelers game as well. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be back. In fact, he's not even on the injury report this week, which is fantastic to see. So they had some decisions to make, and they made some business decisions in this game, which was, we're going to start a rookie seventh round, third string quarterback in Skylar Thompson instead of Teddy Bridgewater, even though Teddy Bridgewater effectively could have started the game and played the majority of it. They decided to keep their left and right tackle out. They decided to basically say, look, this is a game where if we push them and they get injured more, it's going to screw the season. So we're okay with losing this game. We're okay with losing this battle if it gets us ready to win the war. And I think that's what the Miami Dolphins did in this game. In fact, I know that's what they did. Looking at the injury report today here, Chris, first one of the week, Tua Tagovailoa, noticeably absent. He wasn't even on the report. So that tells you something. That tells you he's ready to go. He's laser focused. He was itching to play last week. They didn't let it happen, and I understand why. This was always the calendar game right here, this Pittsburgh game. Once the concussion happened, this is when he was coming to come back, ready to come back. If you listen to this show and you listen and you read between the lines of what I'm allowed to talk about, you know that that's the case. I've also told you about Teron Armstead taking it off and coming back in this game. Austin Jackson's going to be back in this game. This is as close to healthy as we can get on offense that we've ever seen for this season, with the exception of like two drives against New England. So you're going to have Tyreek. You're going to have Jaylen Waddle, who's fine, by the way. You're going to have your projected starting lineup in terms of your offensive line. Mike Gesicki will be back. He had a good game, although he may be traded before this game. Who knows? And then you have Tua Tagovailoa back. So I am interested to see this offense, Chris, against a Pittsburgh Steelers defense that is, statistically speaking, the worst in the league against the pass. So think about that. You got Tyreek Hill, number one in receiving yards in the league. Jaylen Waddle, number five in receiving yards in the league. A revamped and revitalized Mike Gesicki, who is motivated right now. And Tua Tagovailoa coming back, looking to prove the haters wrong once again. And Mike McDaniel, redemption story. 3-3, getting back in the winning record. Oh, by the way, Brian Flores is on the other side of this bad defense. I'm looking forward to this on primetime.
Yeah, Sam, this is a game I had circled as well, because it's one of those things where it's national TV. It's a home game. Tua's back. The national narrative is going to change with a good victory here. The Steelers are coming off of a couple of just like decent performances. Mitchell Trubisky may play in this game. Who knows? Most likely it's going to be Pickett, who had a concussion. He'll be playing a week later, which is just funny, but I won't get into that. And yeah, you got a young rookie quarterback against this defense chopping at the bit with a home crowd that's going to be hot, that's waited all day for the game, night game, prime time. Throwbacks, I believe, Sam, as you're perfectly wearing the shirt right now to indicate that I'm correct. It's just everything is just looking Milhouse right here, because it's just a game where we need to win. The Vikings were an NFC opponent. It's not going to really ultimately the end all be all come down to any kind of a playoff scenario. This, however, will, and you need to go out there with a Wattless Steelers defense and take advantage of that and throw it all over the yard. Make a statement.
I think this is going to be a statement game. The Miami Dolphins' recent history on primetime, including against the Bengals a couple of weeks back, we all know what happened there, has not been good. But this is set up for the Miami Dolphins to have success. Returning stars, returning quarterback, return to the victory side of this equation. I think they go 4-3 after the end of this. And I do think this offense is going to put it on the Steelers defense. And I think they are looking to prove a point to Brian Flores. They're looking to prove a point to the NFL. They're looking to prove a point to themselves that they can rebound from this really, really just nasty amount of bad news that's happened over the last 3 weeks and come out of this, not only with a winning record, but with a victory against an AFC opponent, like you talked about, and say, okay, Now we got the Bears, the Lions, the Texans, and the Browns, I think, not even necessarily in that order, coming up. So they have a very easy, quote unquote, schedule moving forward here. They could be right back in the thick of this thing before you know it. I do want to talk about Mike Gesicki, though, just for a second, because I had talked about a couple weeks ago that the Miami Dolphins need to look into a couple of things. Number one, I maintain that Mike McDaniel should be bringing in two kickers every single week for the rest of the season.
Agreed.
Jason Sanders is on notice, and he needs to have a job interview every single week at practice to earn his spot back on this roster. He has to do it every single week until he can get back to the Jason Sanders that we know he can be, number one. Number two, I think Mike Gesicki wants no part of being part of the Miami Dolphins, and I think the Miami Dolphins want no part of Mike Gesicki being on the team. He was forced into action against the Vikings because Durham Smythe didn't play because he was hurt. So he had to play. And credit to Mike McDaniel, they at least used him the proper way, which is as a receiver. But I'm getting the feeling that Mike McDaniel and this Miami Dolphins team doesn't really want Mike Gesicki anywhere near her. He will not be here on this team at the end of the season if he's not already traded. If you were in charge, if you're Chris Greer, Chris, would you trade Mike Gesicki before the trade deadline? And what would it take to get him off this team? Like, what is the compensation that you would take back to say, okay, I'm making that deal?
Yeah, I'm on the complete opposite side of this than you. I don't understand why anybody would want to get rid of a young, just absolute, like, mismatch of a talent that has already proven that he can dominate and be a force for our offense. I get the whole, like, oh, he doesn't run block, and that's what Mike McDaniel wants him to do. Well, I saw a video of him just absolutely pancaking 54 last week for the Vikings in the run game. You know, it's something that maybe he can do and hasn't been asked to do in his career. He's a big dude, and he's fast, so he can absolutely do it with the right coaching. I just don't understand, like, why we were wanting to get rid of him. And if you're asking me what it would take, it would take a lot. Like, I would want a first and a third, or second and a third. You know, I want something that's comparable to a weapon on an offense, because it's not easy to replace. It's not a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just hate the fact that he can't dance, and they're like, we can't have that lack of soul and flavor in South Beach. So they're gonna pawn him off to Amish country somewhere up in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. No, I don't think they like each other. And now, this isn't the Jarvis Landry, Adam Gase situation, but I don't think they jive very well. They don't. It's like they have a healthy respect for one another, but they're not buddy buddy. And I'm getting the feeling that, like, if he go, it's kind of like Ivan Drago. If he dies, he dies. Like, if he leaves, then so be it. I don't think this offense is predicated on Mike Gesicki. Now, he played very well against the Minnesota Vikings, but again, I question whether or not that would have even happened if Durham Smythe is in the game, because Durham Smythe is our starting tight end. Let's just not get it twisted right now. Durham Smythe is our starting tight end, and they like him because of what he brings to the blocking game. They like him because of just who he is and his attitude and everything else that goes with it. I don't know that they have the warm and fuzzies between Mike Gesicki and Mike McDaniel right now. Maybe there's just too many Mikes and they just don't like it. I mean, that happens with children. So maybe they're being children about their names. I don't know. But for me, I wouldn't be that hard line. I would, you know, if I got a second, I am personally driving him to the airport to drop him off to wherever it is that we're trading him to. A second, I think, is way too high. If you can get a third, I think you're lucky. I really do. So I would take a third for Mike Gesicki and then maybe throw in a player. But here's the thing. Do the Miami Dolphins need to make that trade? No, but do they need to make a trade, which is, like, on a bigger scale? The Carolina Panthers are punting on the season. There's some talent there on the offensive line. There's some players out there. Christian McCaffrey comes to mind, although their asking price for him is absolutely stupid. You've got people in Washington, whatever their name is these days for the football team. That whole franchise is in disarray with the owner and everything else, looking for a trade. William Jackson III, really good cornerback, looking for a trade. The Miami Dolphins happen to have a need on the defensive side of the ball in terms of cornerbacks. Is there a trade that you would like to see the Miami Dolphins go after? And if so, what position or what player?
Yeah. James, he comes into play there from Washington for sure. And living here in Charlotte, another name I would like to take a flyer on is Shaq Thompson, linebacker for the Panthers. You mentioned it before. We've mentioned it on the show. Landon Roberts is not it. Like, this isn't 1995 anymore, where it's like big, huge pads, and we need a three down linebacker that can just stop Jerome Bettis three plays in a row. You got to be able to cover in this league. And Jerome Baker's barely handling it as well. Tyndall has made like one play all season in six games. as a third round pick. So if you can go get a Shaq Thompson, who's not the youngest guy in the world, but if you can get him on the cheap, a veteran guy that's played with Kuechly and Thomas Davis and knows what it's like to have a good linebacker crew, that's somebody I'd like to go after. Brian Burns is another one that's okay. I mean, he's great, but like, does he fit what we need right now as far as pass rushers go? I don't think so. So I wouldn't give up the farm. But yeah, if you can go get a Christian McCaffrey or a DJ Moore, and it's possible and it's not like killing you or someone on the line there for the Panthers, I would definitely look into doing it because they're in the middle of like not a fire sale because they want the job to look pleasing for the next head coach, but there's definitely room to pick at the yard sale, so to speak, when it comes to the Carolina Panthers, and it's worth looking into.
Yeah, I think we're 1 or 2 weeks away from the Panthers saying, just come take our stuff. Just get it out of the lawn. Just get it out of the yard. We need to clean up. We need to move on. And they're not quite that desperate yet, but they will be. But we're not the only ones out there. I mean, the Bills are looking at maybe Christian McCaffrey. There's some other people looking at Christian McCaffrey. Cam Akers is out there if you're looking for a running back. I don't know that the running back position is really what the Miami Dolphins need to be focused on. Raheem Mostert looks like the number one back when it comes to rushing the ball. Chase Edmonds has been a little off, but he looks like
he's made a lot of people mad in fantasy. Let's just say that.
He certainly has, but he's definitely a better option in terms of like an outlet, you know, swing pass kind of guy. Kind of your change of pace, third down back. So I think the Miami Dolphins are solid there, unless they're just going to give us Christian McCaffrey. I don't think you give up the farm for him. It's just, I'm curious. I do think we need help on that defensive backside. Xavien Howard's not going to be healthy all year. I'm just going to tell you right now, this is going to be a struggle for the rest of the year for Xavien Howard. Byron Jones, if we see him before the bye week, I would be shocked. Keon Crossan is going to come back at some point. Kadir, whatever the guy's name is, the young undrafted rookie. He's a great story. Do we want him covering Stephon Diggs down the stretch? Probably not. You know, so you got to find somebody that you can put back there that can somewhat do what Xavien Howard and Byron Jones do, which is to live on an island. You know, they're not going to be as good as those two guys. William Jackson III's not going to be, but he's better than what we got. So if we're going to make a trade, one of two. One, I trade Mike Gesicki and get back what I can get back. And or two, and maybe it's the same trade, you got to get a defensive back into this mix. We just need a healthy body at this point. Because Noah Igbinoghene, like, he played well for Noah Igbinoghene. And we're grading on a scale in Minnesota. He knocked away two passes and we're a lot Hall of Fame. You know, but Zach Thomas can wait another year, put Noah in.
One of his knockdowns, too, he clearly had the opportunity to catch that and has never done it before and went, football, and just like slapped at it in midair. It was the weirdest looking defensive play ever.
I was laughing. We're not doing elite tweet or delete tweet this week, but I was laughing at one of your tweets because like, no, Igbinoghene finally made a positive defensive play and it still wasn't good enough for you. Like, catch the freaking ball.
And I still hate him. Yeah.
I still hate him. That's the exact opposite of Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle has a bad game. We're like, it was a bad game, but everything's fine. He's got enough goodwill. No, Igbinoghene has the good game. We're like, not enough. You didn't do enough.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right.
He's still making, he's got months to make up for that Jacksonville game alone in London.
Yeah, that's true. That's 100% true. But, you know, look, it's good to have, we're talking to special guest Chris Cullen here on Welcome to Perfectville. He's joining us finally. We're able to kind of sit down and find some time here. But let's talk about it. Sunday night, Pittsburgh Steelers, Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins are coming in, getting healthier. Pittsburgh Steelers limping into this game. You have the Brian Flores / Tua Tagovailoa, you know, kind of subtext, storylines here. A, they don't like each other. B, Tua's coming back from concussion protocol. And C, you've got a team that if they lose, meaning the Miami Dolphins are now going to have a losing record, 4 in a row. Is that a snowball effect? And you have the Steelers team that right now I don't think has an identity, Chris. Are they going to rebuild? Are they going to try to double down and make the playoffs with the winning record again with Mike Tomlin and company? How do you see this one playing out Sunday night?
All right, so here's the deal. We almost beat the Vikings with like our 8th-string quarterback, defenders and people hurt with Kirk Cousins. Now, not the best quarterback in the world, but he's Kirk Cousins, and Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook getting pretty much shut down, and Justin Jefferson. Now you're coming in with what, Devontae Cook or Jackson or Washington or Williams, whatever his name is.
It's Deontay Johnson.
Johnson, yeah. It's one of those common names That's it. That's all I'm worried about. Pat Freiermuth is like limping into this game with a concussion. I know because I have him on two fantasy teams and he's done nothing for me the last 2 weeks. And then you got Kenny Pickett, rookie with gloves on, coming down to Miami. His hands are going to be sweating like a sinner in church, playing against this defense. There's going to be revenge on the mind when it comes to Flores. I honestly think he's going to come out and try. He's going to be in Tomlin's ear. Tua, you know, he's coming off the concussion. Let's pressure him. They're going to send the house. And I think Tua's going to eat them alive on the quick passes, slants, and things of that nature, Sam. They don't have Watt rushing him. You told us already before that their defensive backfield is not looking hot. The crowd's going to be insane. It's national TV. It just all makes too much sense, Sam. And since I have not been on the show for a couple of weeks, you're going to get optimistic crazy, Chris, from before. And I'm going Miami Dolphins 37, Steelers 17, in an absolute barn-burning blowout where Teddy Bridgewater finishes the game in victory formation because Tua's done enough. He's done enough.
37-17, Miami Dolphins over the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what the two-time Hall of Famer and the good doctor himself has. I've got it 28-10. Very similar outcome here. I think we just drop four touchdowns on him and say, okay, we're good. We're good enough. Let's move on. I think Tua Tagovailoa goes for over 300 yards. This is a statement game for him against Brian Flores. And he don't think that he has forgotten about that. He may have forgotten about the hit that happened to him in Cincinnati. He may have forgotten about the ambulance ride. But don't forget the fact that he has revenge on his mind against Brian Flores in this Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I also think you're going to see both Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill go for over 100 yards. In fact, combined, I'm going to put the prediction out there, Chris, over 250 for the two of them. I think we find them early. I think we find them often. I think they get out there and they run in space. Don't forget that there's a guy in the defensive backfield for the Pittsburgh Steelers that Miami Dolphins kind of hate as well, named Minka Fitzpatrick. So this is a game where there's a lot of little subplots going on, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we do and to the dismantling of the Pittsburgh football Steelers on Sunday night. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I got it 28-10. You've got it 37-17. Either way, no matter how you slice it, looks like the Miami Dolphins are going back to the victory circle for the first time in a long time. First time in October, even, which is going to be exciting.
Well, and here's how I know we're going to win, Sam. They haven't won since we've done the show together, and here we are. So let's just call a spade a spade. Perfectville's back, and so are the Dolphins.
There you go. We got throwback jerseys. We got primetime. We got Tua Tagovailoa. We've got Brian Flores. We've got everything that you could possibly want in a Sunday night intriguing matchup. No more Russell Wilson and Denver Broncos on primetime. We got actual people with actual quarterbacks playing in this game. I'm excited. Chris, anything else you want to say before we let you go in terms of being a guest on your own show?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Hope it's a more common occurrence, and appreciate the fans listening. And seriously, thank you for everybody dealing with Sam and I, scheduling issues, mic issues, family issues, things like that, hurricane issues. It's snowballed, but we're back.
Let's not forget about the fact that you did have to go through a hurricane as well. I mean, there's quite a bit going on in the lives of Chris Cullen and maybe not so much, but a little bit of Sam Marcoux as well. So we appreciate all you guys out there, the citizens of Perfectville. We are still part of the Believe Network, streaming on Sirius XM and TuneIn Radio. And if you have the Local Now app, you may actually see the video broadcast of Chris Cullen and Sam Marcoux as well, which maybe we have to start wearing pants, Chris. I'm not sure, but
nope. Camera's chest up. We're good.
There you go. TV 14, baby. We don't, we have no pants here. All right. Well, with that being said, how did you do in the okayest fantasy league ever, Chris?
Goodbye from Perfectville. Yeah.
Later.
I lost. I was projected to win by a lot and I lost. Not doing great, Bob. So we'll see. I'll be back in the chat hearing it from everyone, I'm sure.
I don't want to brag. I'm 4-2. I'm hanging in there, and I beat Race, who is the defending champion. It's kind of like when a team loses the Super Bowl, but then beats them in the regular season next year. It's like, haha, now we're even. Not really, because he beat me in the finals last year, but I got him back a little bit. So I'm doing quite okay in the okayest fantasy league ever. And you'll get there. We'll get there.
Congratulations, Sam. Thank you. Congrats.
Just like podcasting, it takes 7 years until we're good at fantasy football. So,
yeah, we're only in like year three of this league.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, we got some time. So, all right, everybody. Well, that is going to do it for Sam Marcoux. That's going to do it for Chris Cullen. Chris, good to hear from you. Good to talk to you. Good to see you. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
That's it. Fins up.
Fins up. Well, on behalf of Chris Cullen, myself, and the entire Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag, the only thing left to say is goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.